Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Sports Info Solutions. Always enjoy having Mark on with us. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Yeah, well, crazy games here in the National League. What can I tell you? Last night we had one Giants and the Brewers. We've got Hira, who is just unbelievable as a hitter, I think, as a young hitter. But there's a guy for the Mets. We've got the Mets are coming in this week. And I just wanted you to comment on Jeff McNeil, because I've watched this guy hit, and I watched him last year. And I said, boy, he uses the whole field. It's tough to get him out. The Giants and Mets see each other this Thursday for four, and McNeil comes in. What do we know about him?
Sure. It's funny that you say that, because I just read something about him. The best thing to know about him is that no matter how you play him, he hits the ball away from you. When you shift him, he hits the ball the other way on the ground or a line drive about 40% of the time, which is a lot. Like, most guys are going to be very pull happy, especially the guys that get shifted a lot, like he does. When you play him straight up, though, it's almost like 9 out of 10 that he's going to pull the ball. So it's amazing, because, and the Mets broadcasters talked about this, it's like a hit him where they ain't kind of philosophy. And he's so good at just, he'll reach out and just dunk a ball into left field, or he will take a full swing and hit a line drive hard down the line. It's like he has golf clubs in his arsenal, and he can pick out the right one for the right spot at any time.
That's, you know how I used to describe like that was Rod Carew. I used to say, yeah, Rod Carew played baseball like people play softball.
On MLB Network, they compared him to Wade Boggs.
Yeah, that's an easy one, too. Carew, for me, I'll never forget his 3,000th hit. He just took the ball and just, like, placed it in left field, and that was it. So, all right, so Jeff McNeil's coming in. He has been one of the more interesting hitters in this season of shifts and everything else. He looks like he knows what he could do. So we'll see him on Thursday. But the Giants, last night it was a loss 5-4, but a continuation of the way they're playing baseball, and that is very exciting baseball. And Austin Slater has come up, I think, something like 9 for 20. He's got an OPS of about 3,000 right now. But what's the difference in Austin Slater from this year to last year?
I think it's too early to say, and a couple of things have been unfortunate. The home run that he hit the other night was one of those first rowers, which definitely wouldn't have been out in Oracle. But hey, those are home runs that he wasn't hitting last year, right? So I think that's a good thing. The impressive thing, I think, about that one in particular, though, was what he did with two strikes, where he was able to go to the opposite field, and he's already hit a couple of two-strike home runs. He's shown, this is 20 at-bats, but he's shown better judgment in terms of taking a more aggressive approach in the strike zone, positive there. And right now the results are better. It's funny because this has happened now for him and for Dickerson, and now it's a matter of can they make it last? But I think you certainly have to like what you've seen so far.
Yeah, and he's hitting with a lot of confidence. If you look at him at the plate, he's not searching. He's not reaching. He's staying with his approach, whatever it is. So I like what I see with him so far, so we'll see how that goes. On the veteran side, Longoria has just come alive, and he had a bat Friday night where he fouled the ball down the line, fouled it down the line with home run distance. He said, oh, too bad. And then he just put the next one right on the foul pole for a home run. And that's, to me, that's a veteran hitter. What do you see with Longoria?
Yeah, it's funny. If you look at what his numbers are the last 104 at-bats, 288, 357 on base, 548 slugging. I think that's what you thought you were getting when you got him, maybe a little higher batting average, but he is crushing it. It's funny. We sent something to Fleming and Company the other day. I'm trying to remember at the top of my head. It was like his average exit velo is like 1.5 to 2 miles an hour faster. But the difference for a hitter between what it was and what it is was like 91 miles an hour and then now 93 or something like that. And the difference for a hitter in that is like really significant in terms of batting average points and slugging percentage. It's amazing what the difference of a couple of miles an hour can do. And He's also, I just looked at this here. He's doing some things that make me wonder if he stepped, if he made it, might have taken a step away from the plate, because he's been much better on the inside pitch since the start of June, hitting it for power and just hitting it better in general. That's one of those things where you'd have to look at the tape. But it looks like this is the guy that they thought they were getting, at least for 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, he pulls the ball better now.
Yep.
I think that's the difference. And in this ballpark, Oracle Park, you want to pull it if you're a right-handed hitter, because you can reach the seats here, and I think he's doing a better job of that. Mark Simon joins us. Mark A. Simon, yes, on Twitter, Sports Info Solutions. Always enjoy talking some baseball with you. Did you happen to see Bumgarner last night at all?
I listened to the last couple of innings, so I didn't. I know he only went five. I know he threw 100-something pitches. But I guess continuation that he only allowed one run and make me feel good about where he's headed, and especially coming back, first start back from dealing with the post-injury, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
So at least he showed that he could get it done.
All right. The Brewers, interesting team. Give me a little bit on the Brewers, what you see with them. We've got Braun. Of course, you get Yelich, who really the lefties kind of handled Yelich so far in the series. We'll see what Beedy does with him today. Moustakas is a serious player. As I say, here is a tough out. Aguilar starting to hit a little bit. I'm not sure what's up with Lorenzo Cain, but what do you see with the Brewers in vis-a-vis the league here?
It's funny. I was going to make a comment about Cain, that he did something that was way out of character in botching that ball last night that led to the tying run scoring. This guy's one of the best center fielders in baseball. He hasn't hit this year. His offensive numbers are really bad, certainly in a year where just about everybody's offensive numbers are good. Moustakas has been very good, 880 OPS. And he's a nice compliment to Yelich. The guy that they've gotten really good production out of, I think more so than maybe they even expected, was Grandal, whose batting average was a little higher until a recent skid, but slugging over 500. The impressive thing about them is the thing that the Giants have gotten to in each of the last 2 days, with Hader and Jeffers at the end of the games. And I think they've exposed maybe a little weakness in the Brewers in their bullpen, and maybe that Milwaukee needs to add one more reliever. But that they hit Hader was what really impressed me the other day.
Yeah, Hader is interesting, and I kind of got into this a little bit with Sean Estes on the talk back yesterday. You know, maybe a little bit like Billy Wagner, except a little different arm slot. But it's basically deception a little bit in the delivery. And here it comes. It's going to be 98, but now it's not 98. It's more 95. And these guys can time a fastball. And he better have a little better slider or something else. Because if all he does is, and I say all he does, he's the best reliever in baseball, is throw that fastball. As we go through the summer, and especially if he ever got into the playoffs, I think at that point it slows down a little bit, and I think he becomes a little more hittable, and they did hit him the other night.
Yeah, he's given up 9 home runs this season, just like everybody else. The ball's flying out of the park. His slider is actually very effective when he uses it. He just chooses not to use it very often because the fastball is so good.
Yeah, well, you know, just watching him, I think he'd better throw a few more sliders, because that fastball is straight. I mean, it's coming, and Crawford just waited on it, and he got it. And Austin, straight fastball up a little bit away from him, and he got it and took it the other way. So we'll see. He's terrific. He's got, you know, pitched 60 innings, has like 400 strikeouts. So, you know, what can I say about that? All right, so today we have an interesting matchup. The Giants have seen Chacín a bunch of times over the years. With Colorado, with Arizona, with San Diego. And here he is as a Brewer once again. And now Tyler Beedy is back, who has had a couple of good starts. What do you see today?
You know how it's funny? We've had this theme going where I think it started with Syndergaard, and now it went to Miles Michaelis, and now it goes to Chacín. Mm-hmm. And Chacín's numbers essentially with his slider, once again, are way, way, way off of what they were when he was effective. This is a guy who last year was a significantly better pitcher than the guy with a 5.4 ERA. He's got bitten by the home run. The slider, which was more of a weapon for him in 2018, is not doing so this season. So that would be the thing that I would watch from this game. I'm going to give you the prediction before I even ask. I'm going to say 7-2 Giants today.
All right, 7-2. And who's the MVP? My other part of the question is, who's your MVP for the Giants today?
Let's go Tyler Beattie with the 5 solid innings.
Okay. All right. Very good. We're going to have you at one of these Original Joe's dinners one of these days when you're out here. But that's our question for today, and tweet it into Baseball Marty. All right. You know, Home Run Derby, first of all, you're so into the stats and understanding the metrics. And then you see Vladimir Guerrero hit 90 home runs and Pete Alonso come back. Baseball couldn't have asked for a better script for the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was like it was better than games. It was fun. I don't dispute at all that it was an enjoyable product. I think the difference now with this 4-minute clock is that guys just swing and bash away, and they don't let up. Whereas when it was 10 outs, you just waited for your pitch, and these guys crushed them. I thought Alonso, everything fell into place for him to win it, because he kind of got to watch Vlad get tired out. And he seemed to have more strength in the second half of his times at bat than in the first half of his times at bat. And he was very impressive. You'll see him Thursday to Sunday, too. And it's funny, in the Home Run Derby, he wasn't a discerning hitter. But he's actually a pretty discerning hitter, in terms of he's like McNeil's going to bash away at anything that's in the strike zone. Alonso's going to be more pick and choose. But the thing is that when he does swing, he crushes.
Yeah, the Mets series, and I know Colorado, we've got 4 games there. Did you see the numbers last night in Colorado?
Yeah, after a lengthy delay as well.
Yeah, like a 4-hour rain delay and a 4-hour game. So then they had 39 hits, 26 runs, 5 triples for the Reds, 3 homers, and the lead changes all over the place, and that is Colorado. So the Mets come in after the Giants are in Colorado. I think the Mets series is going to be interesting for the Giants.
Yeah, it should be fun. You're going to see Syndergaard and DeGrom, presuming that Syndergaard doesn't get traded. You're going to see their best. They're still floundering in a lot of ways. They split the first two with Miami, and Cano actually hit a home run yesterday, which is an extremely rare feat. But it should be a good series. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other one today is Ryu and Price, Dodgers and Red Sox. They've split the first 2 games there. Cashner is now a Red Sox. How about that game today? Did you take a look at that?
Yeah, so Hyunjin Ryu has been very successful for a couple of reasons. And in fact, one of the biggest is that the Dodgers' defense behind him has been outstanding. He is the biggest beneficiary, I think, this year on ground balls. Like, a normal team's going to get, like, 75% outs on ground balls. When Ryu's pitching, it's, like, 85%. And I think that goes hand-in-hand with the fact that he has a really good changeup. And his changeup is what leads to weak contact on ground balls and makes for easy plays for Justin Turner and Corey Seager and whoever else is out in the field for the Dodgers. And they seem to find a way to get it done. And they hit Chris Sale yesterday, which was very impressive.
Yeah, and David Price has probably been the best pitcher on the Red Sox. So that, you know, for whatever it is, it'll probably be a bullpen game, as every game in baseball turns out to be. I'll give you one more before we let you go. I enjoyed talking with you this morning. Nola and Corbin yesterday. Nola's been terrific for the Phillies. Corbin has been terrific for Washington. All right, so I'm thinking about the game. I said, all right, so Nola's winning 3-0. He's gone after, what, 6 or so. Corbin's gone, 3-0. And I said, okay, well, let's see. Now the game starts, because now the 2 bullpens are in. And sure enough, the Philly bullpen gives up 4 runs. Soto hits a 2-run homer, 2 out in the 9th inning, and Washington wins 4-3. Goodbye, Aaron Nola.
and certainly not the first time for him that he has been the negative beneficiary of the Phillies bullpen. He has 10 no decisions this season.
Wow.
He's very good. I can tell you that there is panic in Philadelphia and a lot of fear that this season is about to fall apart for them, that they're going to fall out of wild card contention. And there's a lot of wringing hands with Gabe Kapler, and I'm wondering if he's going to survive it.
Yeah, well, it's Arrieta today and Anibal Sanchez because Scherzer's got a little back thing. And the Nationals go for a sweep, and Arrieta's been no mystery. So this is another one. Eventually the bullpens will decide it if one of the starters doesn't really get lit up.
Yep. Can I sneak in one other thing? Today's
Please.
The anniversary of the 10,000th win.
Okay.
Giants were the first team to 10,000 wins. I was looking it up. The game ended in was decided in an interesting way. Omar Vizquel hitting the game-winning home run. And I just thought that this was cool. That I don't know if you remember this. In 2005, the Giants briefly called up an outfielder named Adam Shabala, who was in the Giants organization for like 7-8 years. He got a hit in that seventh inning, and then Vizquel hit the three-run homer. It was the last hit of Adam Shabala's major league career. He had only three, but one of them contributed to the 10,000th win. He is now working in Chicago. He's a electrician, and based on his LinkedIn page, it sounds like he's doing pretty well.
Wow. Omar Vizquel, Hall of Famer for you?
But right on the borderline, thinking no, but very close, and don't necessarily argue with people who think that he is.
All right, very good. Mark, a pleasure talking to you. We'll talk to you next week. Mets are in town, and after four in Colorado, this is quite a week of baseball coming up. Plus, we got today, Giants and Brewers. Thanks again for your help.
You got it, Tip.
All right, Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, and he is Sports Info Solutions. A lot of fun to follow him on Twitter. It's really a lot of fun to follow him.